And every now and then, we like to turn the microphone over to someone with a great story. Today, 87-year-old Isaac Shapiro, whose memoir has just been reissued, and it's a doozy. It's titled Edoko, which means child of Edo, the former name of Tokyo, and that's what he was, growing up with his family, a stateless foreigner in wartime Japan. He was the son of Russian Jewish musicians who fled persecution during the Bolshevik Revolution, then moved around the world as Hitler began his rise, from Germany to France, and in 1931 to Japan, where Isaac was born. His mom made a side trip to China, where she'd partly grown up. That's another story. But mostly, like many people without a country today, Isaac lived in Japan with a front seat on history. Wait till you hear, as Isaac Shapiro joins us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you.
Start with being in Japan. Japan aligned with Nazi Germany. I can't imagine how your parents felt, having been chased by Hitler from other countries.
Well, my first memories were really not of Japan, because my mother actually was born in Russia, in Odessa, but she was brought to China after the anti-Jewish pogroms in Odessa. When I was 6 months old, my parents separated, and my mother took us four sons in 1931 and took us to China, where her father lived.
We weren't even going to go here, Isaac, because this is a whole story unto itself. Your parents, as you said, separated. Your mother takes four boys, couldn't have been easy, goes to China, where she's kidnapped for ransom along with a man that she'd met. He's later murdered. I mean, she escapes. This is before you get to World War II in Japan.
That's right. And books have been written about that kidnap story. It was a horrible event.
Yeah.
But anyway, in 1936, she reconciled with my father, and we went from Manchuria to Tokyo. But we were very much aware of what was going on in the late 30s, that the war was expanding into a world war.
1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But then the firebombing, the carpet bombing of Tokyo by the U.S., you write about your mom on the roof with a broom trying to sweep sparks away. What was that like?
Well, it was pretty frightening. I was all of 13 when fire raids came to Tokyo in the fall of 44. And then we left Tokyo after the big attack of March 10th and took refuge in a village 100 miles north of Tokyo, Karaizawa.
Who are you identifying with at this point? The child of Russian musicians who lived in countries around the world. Now here in Tokyo, you're speaking fluent Japanese, but I also understand, you know, reading the Rover Boys and listening to classical Western music. Who were you identifying as?
That's a hard question to answer. I think I always fancied going to America eventually. English was our main language. I spoke to my brothers in English. The language we dreamed in, the language we talked to each other in. The Japanese did not treat us as their enemies because we were stateless, and we felt reasonably comfortable, except for the food rationing and the bombing.
Well, hold on. Reasonably comfortable? You had malnutrition. You were getting sores on your hands and feet. You did not have food.
No, that's correct. But nevertheless, I can't really say that I was an unhappy boy. I wasn't. I had lots of good friends. Or when the war ended, I literally ran away from home. I was very eager to meet the American troops.
Describe this scene. Hiroshima and Nagasaki had been bombed. There's an announcement that comes across, you know, language.
It's the emperor speaking.
Yeah. Not saying surrender.
Not really, no. Just that the time had come to call an end to the war.
So this announcement comes, and it sounds as if, you know, young Isaac Shapiro feels liberated. Now, people have been told, stay inside your homes.
Yes.
Very, very tender time. Like, what's going to happen? The Japanese are surrendering. And everybody was told, nobody go on the streets, stay inside your homes. You jump on your bike?
Yes. There was no one in the streets, and this military policeman chased me, but finally I got away from him.
Where were you going?
Just riding around. I wasn't going anywhere at that point. Just excited, very excited, and it was fun to ride a bicycle in all the excitement.
Right. Well, but then, 14 years old, you decide you're going to go to Tokyo against your parents' wishes. You write, scarcely 2 weeks later, you found yourself aboard the USS Iowa anchored near its sister battleship, the USS Missouri, and 300 other American Allied vessels crammed into Tokyo Bay. You just decided to up and go to Tokyo.
Yes. And then to go down to Yokohama and sit on the boardwalk and watch the boats come in.
What?
It seems obvious to me now looking back that I was not risk averse. I didn't consider the risk.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. I just did what I instinctively wanted to do. Very strong-willed, I guess. And then I started to meet the troops, and first the Army hired me. Then as I was walking to the train station, this jeep with naval officers pulled up and took me down to their anchorage. They took me aboard and fed me, and I remember meeting Admiral Halsey and Admiral McCain, and then witnessing the surrender ceremony on September 2nd from the deck of the Iowa alongside of the USS Missouri, where MacArthur was officiating. And then I was introduced by a naval captain, Captain Duckworth, to Marine Colonel Munn, who was taking over the airbase. And Duckworth said to him, you get the airbase, but you also get this 14-year-old kid. And I had learned how to drive. Marines had taught me how to drive a jeep. So I became his interpreter and driver. And
you're 14.
I'm 14 years old. And he said to me, I'd like to bring you back to America. So he sat down with my parents, and they agreed. And in July of 1946, this Vice Admiral Struble was sent to Japan, and he didn't know it, but he was sent there to pick me up and take me to Hawaii.
A vice admiral. Listen, yes. Before you went to the U.S., there was another moment, which, again, for a 14-year-old, we're just wondering what that was like, when you were asked to go be the interpreter accompanying some U.S. military people at Hiroshima.
We walked around these horrible, destroyed streets. I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And it was just devastating. No one said a word on the way back. It was just a riveting experience to see Hiroshima in October of 1945.
Well, and also 14 years old.
Yes.
I mean, it seems as if some of this was adventure.
I welcomed adventure and enjoyed the life I was living as this mascot of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Well, I was thinking that it was adventure, maybe till that moment.
No, it was quite different because of the devastation and the realization that one bomb had done, you know, thousands of times more damage. It didn't occur to me then, but later on I thought if Japan had not surrendered, eventually all of the cities in Japan would have been pulverized.
Where you were as well.
Yes. And then I started to hear these military songs about how we're going to make a graveyard of Japan. That's what the Americans were singing to each other, the military, that they were going to bomb the hell out of Japan and make a graveyard out of it. Well, then I did realize that had the war continued, it would have been, we would all have been wiped out.
Right. Well, so you make your way to the United States. I mean, years later, I loved seeing that you are the head of the
Japan Society
in New York. You meet the emperor.
Yes.
That you heard on the radio that night. What a life, Isaac Shapiro. Is there a part of you still that holds on to that early life?
Well, I have a link with my past because lots of Hawaiian songs just got to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sing them every day. It's now 60 years later or so.
Can you sing one for us?
Sure. Coconut Willie lives in a tree. Plenty pupuli, it's easy to see. All the Malahinis think he's a king. They come to Waikiki to see his opu swing. Opu means stomach.
Okay.
So my past is embedded.
Well, in fact, I was going to ask you, the classical music was so much a part of Western.
Yes, it still is. Yeah. I listen to it every day. My musical experience was based on listening to my mother. And as a little boy, I would sit and listen to her. I still think of her as, do you know who Clara Schumann was?
Sure. Rare female composer and pianist, Romantic era, wife of Robert Schumann.
Okay, I think of my mother as the Clara Schumann of the 20th century. Clara had, I think, 6 children, and my mother was a professional pianist who raised 5 sons eventually. Her favorite music was romantic music, Chopin, Schubert, Schumann.
Well, I see you at your mother's knee. I see you as the little boy bursting out of a house, pushing through a wooden gate, hopping on your bicycle, with a Japanese officer chasing you with a sword, by the way, as you go out in defiance of the emperor's orders. Or we see you, this kid, with these military leaders, or in Hiroshima. And we leave you with some of your favorite music. That's Isaac Shapiro. His book is Edoko, Growing Up a Stateless Foreigner in Wartime Japan. It's quite a tale. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.